shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we appreciate your kindness and goodness to us and your great mercy, which at this particular moment we do appreciate, and yet in another way we haven't even begun to come to the place of true appreciation and sincerity. Perhaps looking back in next world we go to, we will really begin to appreciate your grace and what you've done. And no doubt, Lord, that is true. But in the meantime, we would want to come to the place by the influence of your Spirit through your word in our hearts, minds, and lives, so giving us understanding and so penetrating so deep, taking all other things away from us, that the life of the word alone stands here, Lord, that we may truly appreciate your presence and your revelation you've given us by vindication, to know the hour in which we live, to know who we are, where we're going, all these things, Lord, having been made clear and manifest to us. And we can believe, Lord, help us to believe in that depth of sincerity, Lord, which should be in this hour. The greatest light has come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 5 in this series here on things that are to be. And as we study this third to last message in a series near Los Angeles, we realize this will be one of the last messages the prophet messenger of Malachi 4 will ever bring. What can he possibly say to them as he knows he himself will soon be leaving this earth? Well, we notice that as soon as he reads the scripture, John 14, 1-7, he remarks that this is usually used at funerals, and if he had an opportunity, he would like to use it himself to tell the world it needs to die and to be born again. Now, if that being the case then, and this is a funeral oration, what would be his message to a people who died to themselves and were born again? It would be this message. It would be the very thing epitomized in the rapture tape which he refers to. Here again we see in his message that he is a judgment prophet. Because, of course, if there was such a thing pronouncing death and life, it would have to be through the process of God judging. This is that time where we are heading speedily in the direction of the purging of the earth under the sixth seal. Yet this world will rise again under the promise of God, even as we, as true Christians, must die and be born anew from the dust into immortality. You know, talking about the earth being purged, which it will be to be a satisfactory spot for the people, which at this time it is not. You'll notice that there are many people today are attempting to do something about the earth, that is to conserve it. Now, we have people like Rush Limbaugh, and he's all right. I get a kick out of him by every fair listen. I haven't heard him for months. But he likes to tell the people, look, he said, this world is here, and you can't throw it off cater. You can't destroy this world. Well, nobody's saying they're going to destroy this planet per the molten lava and the junk that's there. But it is absolutely true with the species dying off it, which cannot be recovered or recalled. And the earth being so polluted, Rush Limbaugh and every millionaire and every entrepreneur, call them what you want, that don't care two bits about successive generations and think everything is involved in the bit of money that you've made and makes you a great person, they're wrong. The Bible distinctly says God will destroy those that destroy the earth. Now, my question is, what are you and I doing about trying to preserve this earth? Now, I palliate my conscience very easily. I give to the Conservancy Fund. They buy hundreds of thousands of acres, and they're the best of the works. They don't spend your my money on big office and big jobs and blow it like the Cancer Society that's got more people running it than there are cancer patients, and give about 4% of the entire load that they built from people, that's my understanding, to really help people. Now, I'm not saying you should give to the Conservancy. I'm not saying that. But you know, we do not have a right to do wrong against this world because we know better. And I'm just saying that. There are many things that we simply do not look at. And yet the Bible has covered all of life, from before the beginning to the very past. And I'm amazed at this, that people call themselves Christians, like Watts, a Pentecostal full gossip businessman. He was put in I guess he put it under Reagan, wasn't he, to conserve everything. Found out he was as big a jip as anybody. Now you got Orrin Hatch passing bills to, you say, we need more natural methods, and we do need alternative medicine. Now we find out he's big owner of one of the big vitamin spreads. Who are you going to trust? All men are liars, I said in my wrath, but Brother Branham said the truth, that every man's word be a lie but God's. You know, if our mouths are not filled with his word and our tongues all together and our minds anticipating the tremendous virtue and value that comes from that word, we're just deceiving ourselves, because there isn't any life anyplace else. People can say what they want, but they're not going to kid me that you've got life in the gifts or anyplace else. They're simply manifestations. Life is in the word, and then he himself became the word, which became the manifestation of that life. That life stood right here, encased in a mortal body, and looked out at everything he'd done. And then he wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou the stonest of prophets, and killest them to study. How often I gathered thy children together, but you wouldn't listen. Yeah, Capernaum, you're under the sea. You'll be there. And Capernaum went under. Capernaum had to go down, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see, the earth must be purged. Now, Jesus was on earth. When Jesus was on earth, the signs and wonders proved absolutely who he was, and his words were infallible. And at that time, when he was near the end of his life, he made an irrevocable promise that the disciples would one day be where he was now going, where there was a place prepared for them. And Brother Branham was now looking at the very same promise himself. So we're going to read on page 723. Now, saying this was a funeral text, remember, death sits right before us. Now, death sits there like an executioner. Now, death is pretty close to what the Word of God is like. It's 100% immovable. But there's coming a time when death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? It's appointed and a man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. That's a general statement made. But there's another statement that says, we shall not all die. So the little tiny group that John says has never happened before is going to happen at the end time, at the appearing. And so Brother Branham said, death sits there like an executioner with his sword in either hand. Try to get by him. Death sits right before us, and we don't know, but there may be some in this building tonight who will not go out of here alive in this physical life. Absolutely true. One step betwixt me and God, one breath. One little bit of detritus. Something broken away in your veins, hit your heart, you're gone. Hit your brain, got an aneurysm or something, you're gone. That's how uncertain it is. That's the life we live here in the flesh. 5 minutes from now, could be that young, healthy, young person in this building can be a corpse. In 5 minutes from now. That is true. And again, it could be in 5 minutes from now, everyone would be in glory. We just don't know. That's in the hands of God. That's concerning your demise. And also, people don't know exactly who are born again. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are his. We just don't know. That's in the hands of God. Jesus himself said he didn't know when that time would be. But that was in the hands of God only. Now, of course, he's quoting from the book of Acts, the first chapter, where they're gathered together. And in 6 and 7, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Notice, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Lord has put in his own power. Well, now, if you look at that, you could look at this in two different ways. You could say, well, Jesus is saying, don't even bother your heads because you don't have one thing to do with this. You're not supposed to know and you never will know. It also could mean that you will not be there at that particular time. And no one is going to say what generation will be there. No one's going to say what particular time. All of those things are in the hands of God. As Irenaeus said, and Brother Branham added to it, the second Jesus can only come that second time. That's put in the rapture, of course. That's the first part of it. When the last elected one is brought in, and Brother Branham said, child train. All right. The promise, of course, is that we have one hope of glory. And that's where Paul stood in the resurrection. He said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, reading on, read the next paragraph. Now, but he was telling them that after death there is light, because I go and prepare a place. That is to receive them. Shows that there, he was speaking to them, that there was a life after this life is ended. And what a consolation that ought to give all of us to know that after this life is over, there is a life that we go into. As you get older, that becomes more of a reality to you. As you begin to see the days of your life drawing to a close, then you begin to pack up closer, getting ready for that great event. It's a continuing of this same life in another world, another place. Now, Brother Branham, of course, had visions concerning this. He had one vision concerning the fact of his first wife, Hope, where she and his daughter, now grown up, were in this particular area where there were mansions, and he didn't recognize the daughter because she had grown up. But there he found them. Another vision he had, I guess it was the same vision when Needy was with him and Hope and the children, or at least the girl was. And then, of course, the vision beyond the curtain of time, where you see not a cessation of life, you see a continuation where, of course, each one is in a different spiritual body. It's not the theophonic form that Brother Branham spoke of. It is merely you go to that place that God has prepared for you. Well, I beg your pardon, it is that theophonic form you go to, that eternal body. It's we standing here don't get that until we meet him in the air. All right, there's this life which is a continuation, and it's a life of memory. Our memory isn't gone. I'm sure we don't dwell upon past things, of course. But it's very much a continuation, and it will be, of course, a place of sanctification in this particular thought, that it would be a place of further understanding and a third further knowledge and knowing. And when there's a further knowledge and knowing, it's really obligatory upon the person who has any kind of a will to come into that realm that he sees there. In other words, there's plateaus of our growth. And when we see plateaus of growth, if we have something from God, we'll move into us. Like the person repents, wonderful. He gets baptized in water, wonderful. Then he goes through a spirit of sanctification, that's great. And now piling word upon word goes on to the baptism with the Holy Ghost and the fullness thereof. So as you increase in knowledge, it's also incumbent upon us that knowledge that God gives us is utilized. And it will be, if we're truly born again, now depending on how much we die out to ourselves, the life being in that word, and that word being that revelation, that it would be inconsistent to believe that people would not be moving on with God. That's why Brother Branham said when Luther came on the scene, what a tremendous difference between that and Catholicism. And when Wesley came, what a tremendous difference. And he said when Pentecost came, what a great difference. And he said, now this. He said, this is a glory that doesn't pass away. Now the others did. You see, but there'll be a people here that goes on and on and on like a Roman candle. So just keep that in mind as you're looking at this life, this same life we're taking down the road into other conditions, atmospheres, and so on. Now Brother Branham goes, as he taught us most thoroughly, he's telling these people something about predestination, and he's likening it the same way I did when I was in Venezuela, when I took the thought that when God planned to have a family, and if you and I planned to have a family, knowing we will have, we would not have done less than God as far as the desire and as far as doing within this realm, according to our capabilities, which we would believe at that time and have to believe, if we're going to parallel ourselves to God, that we would be able to do certain things without fail. And that's exactly what you're going to see in this thought here. Now, your birth was pre-planned. Now, notice if your birth was pre-planned, then you were already pre-planned. Because you can't have a birth unless there's a you. Even to the extent to where they say stillborn, or you can be stillborn. Anything beyond that would be, in front of that would be a miscarriage. You wouldn't even call it a birth. Your birth here was pre-planned. In other words, before you got here and sat in this certain body, this certain thing, everything was pre-planned for you as an individual. I guess you believe that. Well, I think the 90% of the congregation had to be us from the outside to believe that one. Every one of you knows that our births were pre-planned. Did you know that your being here never originated just at a myth or a thought? Or a hit and miss idea, see, sudden conclusion. Everything was all pre-planned by God from before the foundation of the world that you see. That world's what's supposed to be 5.5 billion years old, or 500 billions or trillions. They got it down to heaven knows what. Who knows? Who cares? But before there was a speck of stardust, that's what we always say to end our argument, you were pre-planned. The infinite God knew. Now, to be infinite, he had to know every flea that would ever be in the earth and how many times one would bat its eye. That's infinite, see? Our little minds cannot fathom what infinite means. The infinite God. He knew all things. And therefore, there's nothing out of cater. Now, Brother Branham is saying in that last sentence, he knew all things. See? And the word therefore means because he knew all things. On the grounds of knowing all things, there can be nothing out of cater. In other words, you'd be suggesting that something today concerning God's promise is not valid. Every promise is valid. There's no promise that will not fall to the ground. It will fall to the ground. Every single one must be absolutely brought to pass as God has dictated. So he's giving them strong doctrine here, and they really don't even know it. Now, we analyze the grounds or reasons in what he said here. Therefore, there's nothing out of cater, nothing out of balance, nothing out of line, nothing that isn't working. Now, to know with such emphasis as Brother Branham gives here, he is letting the people know without them perhaps realizing, because they're Pentecostal Armenian legalists, that he's giving them the whole slate of foreknowledge, election, and predestination. So he's telling them here, you look out here in the world, 5.5 billion years old, whatever, I'll tell you something. There was a plan before all of that. And as that came into existence by God, and you see it there, this isn't going to fail either. It's a sure, dynamic conclusion. All right. Nothing is out of cater. Not a thing is out of line. And here's where we get the strong foundations of our hope. We go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll read a lot of scripture this morning with no rush. We're not going anywhere particular. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you notice right there, there's nothing said about anybody loving God unless you are part of the elect. The love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. And again, before you ever loved God, God loved you. And what is his love? It's elective love. You can't get by it. It all lines up in Scripture verse by verse. You can take that out of Malachi. You can take it right out of Romans, the same book we're reading here. Now, he said, we know. How do we know? It's been vindicated. A vindicated ministry. See, now, what is our major problem as we listen to Paul talking to these people back in the first age? They came out of rank heathenism, never having seen anything real that's worth a plug nickel. They had some voodoo artists. Their greatest religion was sex. Pure and simple. Absolute mucky mire nothing. So when they were confronted with the reality, it blew their minds. We come out of Pentecost. A little healing there, and a little healing there. A little prophecy there, and a little prophecy there. And a wonderful changed life here, and a whole bunch changed life there. And surely the scripture works as the prophet, as the preachers taught us. Wrong! Wrong! But you see the difference between them and us. We could go and say, oh, huh, interesting, but, you know, didn't we? Yeah. We didn't raise an eyebrow hardly. And it still doesn't. Our age is the darkest age ever known on earth. The only part, as Brother Branham said, any age mentioned in the whole Bible, the age of peril, because the two spirits are so close, it takes a razor blade difference between them. Then how are you going to suddenly get aflamed? Why, listen, it's known in Ontario, Canada, and I think it is Kitchener where it actually took place, under great men of God. The fire department was called out to put out a fire over a church building, and the flames of fire were upon it. Are they going to get excited about that then? Oh, you know, we've had this for years, Brother Ben. Truth. That's it. These people were hit. Boom. That's why Brother Branham said, I can go to Africa. And one, thus saith the Lord, and one miracle. 30,000. A nation will turn to God. In America, Houdini did some great things too. Yeah, by the way, we have David Copperfield coming to the Nutter Center on Monday too. You want to see some real Houdini stuff? Maybe that's better than this, huh? I'm a little sarcastic, not to you people. This is on a tape. It's on there on purpose. Because they're screaming, we believe the presence, and they don't even know who came down. They said the Lamb did. The Lamb's on his Father's throne. He didn't come down. Well, Evil's got a very bad spirit. I will not worship at their shrine and worship with their determined ignorance for one second. Why should I? I came out of it, my brother and my sister. You see what I'm telling you here? Why, this ministry goes over like a lead balloon, and Paul's took off like a flaming fire, and they turned the line of the word loose, and he roared, and nations fell down, and Thomas got as far as India, and today the Martoma Church is still there. Yeah. And Christianity died in Africa with 53 Coptic churches. Why? Because the Muslims came, and they didn't kill the Christians, they just ignored them, and they couldn't stand the social stigma. The peer pressure, and they died. Now over here, the Pentecostals are going great guns, the chaff. Organization is called tares. Pentecost is chaff. It's the last place the life was. You can't get a rise out of them. Because, you see, they know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and we love Him. I'm not saying they don't with a kind of a filial love, but there's no agape love there as much as they claim, because they do not take the word. How can you throw God's word back in his face and make him a liar? How can a man make his wife a liar and a woman make her husband a liar and say, well, I love him? And I'm talking now of animosity. I'm not saying, well, the husband lies and the woman forgives him because she loves him like an idiot, and she lies and he forgives her because he loves her like an idiot. I'm not talking about addled brain, adolescent so-called love or something. I'm talking about we're getting down to reality. We're talking about Almighty God, Sovereign, who made all this. Look around you. That's what Brother Branham is saying. Now, to them who are called, according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Now the point is this, how can the Pentecost ignore the word foreknow and believe they're going to be in there, which foreknowledge calls for predestination? We say, well, you see, God just knew, but he didn't do a thing about it. Brother Branham didn't say that. Huh? He didn't say that. Where did I read it? It's over here. He said, therefore. He knew all things, therefore there's nothing out of cater. Well, if he just knew the way they said he knew, I'm going to tell you flat things are out of cater. The earth is out of cater. It's shaped like a pear. And it moved to one side. Yeah. So, come on. These people can sit right here and make the prophet of God a liar. Hey, you better not do things like that. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, that's Old Testament. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If he spared not, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now, they love that one. Who shall anything the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that Christ that died, yea, rather risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. When did he quit? I hear he's comatose. That came out of Florida. I can understand the atmosphere down there would be problematic of anybody. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, now watch, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nothing ought to cater. Well, that's the kind of God you got. I don't want it. Well, interesting. I don't believe. That's right, you don't believe. You're not a believer. You know, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You may have to lie in the ditch with me and die before it's over. As I told Brian Brody's friend Luke Gibson over yesterday, I looked at Luke and I said, Luke, you're young and fat. You'll last longer. I'll die quicker. I don't know what's going to happen. Persecution, distress, tribulation, famine. My Bible said, having loved them, he loved them to the end. He loves them all through this. As it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we're counted sheep for the slaughter. As your brother Brandon said, the bride goes through it that Christ went through. Word, body of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, mind of his mind, word of his word. She had to fall on the ground then. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In other words, hey, nothing's out of cater. I'm going to get you where I said I'm going to get you. In my father's house are many mansions. For I am persuaded. Now, this man has been persuaded, not like you and me. He was face to face like William Branham. Remember, William Branham said, Moses, Paul, William Branham. Right? So don't ever hesitate. It's right on a tape. My personal tape, but it was released to the world. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any part of any creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, that really nails it down. Now, let's go a little further. He's talking about Israel had every chance to have everything, and they blew it. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. Israel had it way back there from Moses and on. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Ha ha. Paul knew there was serpent seed, just like Jesus. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they the children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now, remember, that's a type of the righteous one, the coming one, the seed of God, in whom we were. We'll see that down the road. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Remember, Hagar's child was not a promised son. It was Isaac. Do you think for one moment that Isaac would have got the wrong woman and had the wrong kids? Well, you say, just a minute, there were twins there, and you're right, but he had that one. He has to be twins all the time. Maybe we'll be gracious and we'll say, well, Esau was a foolish virgin. Could well be. Don't sell him short. He took care of his mommy and dad. He loved him. He was a better man in some ways than Jacob was. Don't sell him short. Actually, you can use the scripture that the actual translation of that, Esau have I hated, that word could be loved less. Loved him less. Brother Branham used the thought of hate. I use it, too, on the grounds I want to make a clearer distinction than ever. I don't want to have anything light and dark mixed. I want it very, very clear. And remember, at this end time, it's exactly like it was in the days of Jesus. If I had not done the works no other man did, they had not sinned. But now they're both seen and hated, both me and my Father. Yet, oh, we love Jesus. How we love Jesus. See, let's face it, that people don't have a clue to what the Bible's really saying. They take any word and make it fit any occasion. We can't do that. For this is the word of promise, at this time while I come and Sarah shall have a son. And then it says down here, it says written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What should we say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith of Moses, to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I will compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So it's not a him that willeth, him that runneth, but a God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh. Now here's what the Bible says, what God said to Pharaoh. Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. Now his name is not in the book of life in the Lamb's book of life, to my knowledge. If it was the book of life, it would be taken out. But it says it's written concerning him, and the Bible speaks concerning him. But he's not an elect child of God. I would say the old boy is certainly serpent seed. Yep. How did he yet find fault? Nay, but, O man, who are you to reply against God? Can the thing formed say to him, for why have you made me thus, and so on? So you can see here that Brother Branham is teaching a very, very strong subject on the sovereignty of Almighty God. And remember, every principle in the Bible is based upon, or every teaching is based upon a principle, one of which is Alpha and Omega. And remember, at the end time, the Omega principle comes into view. And that Omega principle is positively the ministry of Almighty God in a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming back to earth in another man to the Gentiles, wherein the bruised reed is not broken and the smoking flax is not quenched. And judgment is given them at the time of the Gentiles. In other words, the bride goes on in victory and the world falls apart. Just as we have seen it happening in these last several years here. And also, over here in Isaiah, chapter 46, I guess is what I've got written down here. And 8 to 11, remember this and show yourselves men. Ho ho, listen to this. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country, ye have spoken it. I'll also bring it to pass, I purpose it, I will do it. And he's speaking right there of Pharaoh. And men like that, Nebuchadnezzar, Medes and Persians, and so on. See, it's written of him. And there's nothing that is not going to stand. And today, what has been written in the Word of God and brought to us, and we'll go into this a little later, by a vindicated prophet, is absolutely what we stand upon. Now, all history relative to God is a part of his grand omniscience. Now, notice, in 26, and let's be very careful here, because we have to weigh every word that Brother Branham is saying in the light of Brother Branham himself, the same as Paul. For we know that all things work together for good. For we know that this is how it is. For we know that that is how it is. Well, just a minute, I don't know how it is. Yet I'm included. And I have to be, because Christ is the first fruits and I'm a part. And he's the first one glorified. We have to be glorified with him. He's the first son manifested in glory. That's truly no other one. And the elect come along with him. Now he said, if we know the word of God, we know where we are living. Now just a minute. That's a doozy right there. Everybody says, out in the church, well, we know. Well, do you know? Come on. Point is, do you know? Now, what they're being taught is where their tie post is and where all their faith is. So let's go to, I think it's 1 Peter, at least I hope it is not. We'll soon get to 2 Peter. It's 1 Peter. The first chapter. And we'll do a little reading, starting at verse 6. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, that's in our salvation, if need be. We are in heaviness through manifold temptation. That's a Paul said. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than a gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it can't be brought to the place of the praise and honor and glory until that appearing, which is in this hour, he's already appeared. Now, he's talking about the fact that the trial of your faith, and your faith is a revelation. Now, let's see if the revelation from age 1 goes all the way to age 7 in the appearing. And in that 7th age, we will be the vindicators, or those that are made perfect with those that are gone before, that they without us cannot be made perfect. Perfection has come. So we are at the end time. Now, the trial of the faith goes right to this hour. And you will find people in this hour being tried as the same as they are in every hour. You'll be tried as to what goes on in the church. Well, I don't like what's going on in the church. I'll just leave it. Well, that's been going on for 6, 7 church ages. Oh, I don't believe someone should do so-and-so. 7 church ages. Oh, indeed, the pastor was fair to this guy and that guy, and that guy fair to the pastor. 7 church ages. What are you bellyaching about? Just join the crowd of beefers. That stuff is nothing. You can even be murdered for your faith, your head blown off. Nothing. The point is, standing with the Word demands every single stand that's in the book. In the first church age, it became separatists. There was enough from this bunch and enough from that bunch, maybe intermarriage, God knows what it was all about. But they formed the little cliques and clans and they pulled away. Ha! 7 church age has been going on. And it's condemned. And it'll be condemned today. Because they got their eyes off of the one man, Paul, that had the truth. They wanted to shift their gaze from the Word. And it's easy to shift the gaze. I could shift my gaze tonight and walk out that door this morning and never come back. But you know what? I've been all through this muck and mire. The disappointments in human beings and everything else. Forget it. You think I'd turn back if my wife walked off and left me? Hey, the kids did it. So that'd be all 4 of them. Although Greg came back, I believe he really got right with God. He was right in the first place. He always was right. He just had his legs straightened up. Listen, what's the big scoop? What's the big scoop? Can't face little things? Ha. I read in the scripture for you. Now, the big showdown is right now as to whether the first church age had anything at all, because this is a reaping age. And Peter says right here that the trial of your faith, and it's being tried for 7 solid church ages. You say, I don't believe that. Nobody asks you to believe anything. But I think you better listen to the prophet. And the prophet read over here, grace and peace be multiplied in 2 Peter. And he said here, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So the foundation stone is exactly what Jesus said to Peter. Upon this I'll build my church, which is an absolute vindicated revelation. Now Peter says here, you are going to know if this here is the absolute 100% vindicated revelation, because it's going to come back at the end time, where it falls into the category of the Omega or the reaping when it goes to the Gentiles. Well, hallelujah, it came to the Gentiles. The same ministry. And the bruised reed was not broken. And the smoking flax was not quenched. But he hurled the judgment to victory. And the victory is Christ, because God gave it to him. By bringing everything under his feet. And this is where you get the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, exactly as 2 Thessalonians says, based upon 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now watch, whom have this is Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now the salvation of your souls, it was either done there or it was never done, or he's talking about the time of this time when we're going to have a resurrection and immortality. And he's got to be talking about that. Otherwise, he's contradicting the Apostle Paul. We know in whom we have believed and are persuaded that he's able to keep that which we've been done against that day, having this confidence. See? That there's no way God is going to let the words come that came through Jesus Christ be defiled and lost when he said, I will lose none but raise him up at the last day. All right. Of which salvation, now watch, going back to that first age, of which salvation, and going to this age, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, or the grace which was unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But it wasn't revealed to them. No. Even at the time of the Ethiopian eunuch, when Philip went to him, in Isaiah chapter 53, he said, of whom is this man speaking, of himself or somebody else? Nobody knew the time, the season, or the exact meaning of the words that were spoken by those prophets. Now watch, verse 12, unto whom it was revealed. What was revealed? Just the words. But not unto themselves, but unto us. They did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. He tells you right there, God brings his own word to pass. And even when he does, it's got to be explained. And if you believe that explanation, you're genuine, see, but you got to stick with it. And you got to be nurtured. You got to be watered. What do you think I'm doing here this morning except trying to water you? At the same time, I like the water I'm getting. Moses ate the same manna he called down from heaven. I'm eating the same word, the same blessing you're getting. Perchance you're getting a blessing. And I hope you are. So you're seeing here, we know the Word of God. It's been revealed to us. What they did not know back there, and Peter admitted it, there's going to be a time when they do know it by complete manifestation, appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is that hour. He's already appeared. Oh, the world says, you didn't appear, that's a rapture. I don't care what the world says. That's why 8 people make the ark and 8 people are full of the Holy Ghost. Right. Be fooled by the world. If we know the Word of God, that takes a prophet. Then we know where we are living. That means you cannot know the hour, the day, or the season. No matter how many events you think are in and say, oh, this has got to be it. You'd be just like Dally when they said, you've got to be Elijah. He said, I was horrified and I fought them. But later on, I realized it was true. Dally was no more Elijah than I'm the pig's foot. In fact, I got a better chance maybe being the pig's foot. The Seventh-day Adventist. I mean, I was a tiny kid. Scared stiff. Maybe they'd all go away somewhere. They're on this kind of mountaintop with their feathers. And Brother Brown said they came down with their feathers wet. I was about 4 years old, I think, maybe, when that happened. I remember getting up next morning, the stars were still up in heaven. And I was wondering what had happened. Had they gone somewhere and I hadn't gone too? Of course, I didn't know where they were going, and I didn't much care to go with them. You know, but kind of a scare tactic. Yeah. And they're still living a lie. This people will never live a lie. Let's get that planet. Vindication, validation. Now you wonder why I feel like a hoop and holler in Pentecostal at times. Oh, you could scream. Listen, when I get yelling, you can yell too. But once you listen to what I'm yelling about, then you can yell. But don't drown out what I'm saying, because somebody may need to know it, see? Make a bad take. If we know the Word of God, do we know it? It's been revealed by vindicated prophet. So we know it. Now we know where we're living. Yep, he's ready to preach the world's funeral sermon. Take the saints home to glory. We know where we are living. We know the hour that we're living in. We know what lies ahead. In other words, the next step. He just preached it. Rapture came. Now, he said, we see what we passed. All six church ages, the last 90% of the last one gone by. The great historian. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. Why do people eulogize Luther? Why did they eulogize Wesley? They couldn't help it. Because the manifestation those men brought into the world from the word of Almighty God proved that they were dynamos for God. They were God's dynamite. And they look back and they say, Luther, Wesley. And somebody says, well, I think Huss was great. Huss was fine. I think Zwingli was fine. Oh, they're all great men. Great, no, nobody does. But you never find them saying anything but Luther, Wesley. And Pentecost didn't have one. Restoration of gifts and the baptism. And their prophet, and their man was a prophet. William Branham had to wait, one born out of due season. They turned him down. He said, we see what we passed. The great historian, God teaching him. And the book of God is the revelation of Jesus Christ. His works through the ages that were up to the book of Revelation. And then his promises that are to come. And he's telling you right here that the one that sermonized back there and said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's telling right now, listen, we can see everything that passed is bringing us to the place where Jesus has got to make his word stand good now. I'm going to take you to the place that I've gone prepared. See, it's all in the works. Now, he said, brings us to the book of Revelation. And that's where Brother Branham shone, opening the seals and so on. So all of his promises are true. That's his thoughts. Number one, his promises are true. We have absolute vindication. There's nothing going to stop what's going on now. We know where we are. There's nothing can turn it back. This is it. God cannot speak any word without it being manifested. Every word that he says has to come to pass or literally become. Now, Brother Branham knows. When he talks about the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation was in doubt. The men that got together, oh boy, this is a good one. It's just the same as when Zionism put the Jews back in the homeland. God used Zionism. Well, God's going to do this thing, bless God. He's going to come down on white eagles, and he's going to do this, he's going to do that, and he's going to put us in the promised land. He'll roll the Red Sea back, hogwasher. Not one word for it. Brother Branham, the Vindicator prophet, said God used Zionism and put him back there. So what you're looking at here, as we see, the book of Revelation was in doubt. And these men that gathered to give us the whole Bible were doubtful if they should include the book of Revelation. I don't know how many people voted, but I do know that it passed by one vote. It squeaked in. This is why Brother Branham spread. I think John must have eaten some hot peppers that night and he got indigestion, and this is where it came from. And now Brother Branham comes by revealing the great secret that men know and knew must be revealed. What is under those seals? What are those thunders? Vindication is your answer. I would not believe William Branham for 15 minutes without his vindication, because it was vindication that made the voice within me say, if you listen to any man, that's a man you will listen to. Now, remember that Brother Branham was very strong with the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. And remember positively, what was under the seven seals was a secret, and what was the thunders, what contained in the thunders, was positively a secret along with it. Now, 27. Before the foundation of the world, some people mixed Genesis up there when they said God repeats himself. Now, Brother Branham splits his thought here, so you could just say, you could just wipe up before the foundation of the world. Don't even worry about it. Just cross it out. Some people mix Genesis up there when they said God repeats himself. No, it's just your misunderstanding. Now listen carefully. See, God at the beginning, he said, now watch what God said. Let there be, let there be, let there be. In other words, there was a complete series. The world was just dark and chaos. Well, we know that. Even when he said, let there be light, there might have been hundreds of years before light even sprung in. But when he said it, it had to come to pass. It must be that way. And he spoke his word. Those seeds were under the water. When he dried off the earth, then the seeds came up. What he says must come to pass. Now, I'm going to look at what I think Brother Branham is referring to, because in Genesis here, the first chapter, 2-4. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and morning were the first day. Now, pardon me, 14-19. And God said, let there light be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. It was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And also made the stars, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light and the darkness. And God saw it was good in the evening and morning. It was the fourth day. Well, you know, people have many times said there's something radically wrong there about the fact that everything seems to be out of continuity and out of order, as though the Bible has some mistakes in it. But Brother Branham, you'll notice, he tells us very, very clearly here. He said, people think that God repeated himself from one portion of Genesis in the creation to the other portion. And he said he's not doing that at all. What God merely said, the whole thing was lined up. Let there be, let there be, let there be. Then it fell into its place as the days were numbered and set in order. He said there could have been any number. He's told us that time after time on tape when God said, let there be light. He never said at what exact time. But remember, even if it took hundreds or thousands of years, that word could not fail. And there's where people are right today. In this very hour, they are believing that what Brother Branham said is failing, and they're turning from the Word. They're turning right back to Pentecostals. And they can't stand what we preach here. If you think I'm not hated, you just talk to some people that know everybody's on the field today. And they say, well, what about, they talk about me. And of course, I build a house or a wall around myself, which I don't mind that. That's not too bad and too rough a compliment to take. But the next thing is, they say, well, just a minute, do you really believe in the presence, as Brother Vail teaches? Oh, we believe in the presence, all right. Well, then how come you aren't on terms with him that you want to fight him? Well, you see, it's his spirit. Now, I can never understand how God Almighty can give me the mechanics that you've got to have for the Holy Ghost to fall, and they got the Holy Ghost and can't get the mechanics. I got to know something, because listen, I'm not telling you lies. I've gone to this Word on my face before God, quietly as I know how to do it, and I know I'm in this Scripture here. I don't have to prove anything. See? Because it's already been proven. I just go to the Word back and forth. And I'm going to tell you flat, His presence was His appearing. And His ministry was His message that He is here. And the question is, who is here? The Lamb is not here. How could he be here when that's Revelation 19 coming back with the bride? It lets you know that they're Jesus only. I was talking to Dave. I'll just wander around a little bit here. I was talking to Dave last night. I said, I can understand why they're Jesus only from Brother Branham's teaching. Brother Branham got me. He said, you know, he said, I used to believe God hated me and Jesus loved me. Come to find out they're the same person. Indeed. Indeed. But they didn't know the back of his mind. Oh, Jesus only. The Father is the Son, and the Son is the Father. And you never hear Jesus only say, the Father spoke to the Son, and the Son to the Father. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. Who was it that hated Brother Branham? God, right? And who loved him? The same one in the person of Jesus, that flesh. Because God was in Christ reconciling the world. Huh? Don't get fooled by Trinity crud and Pentecostal Jesus-only junk. I came in my Father's name. What's the Father's name? Jehovah, Savior. That's Jesus. In the Greek, it's in the Hebrew, it's Joshua. Who in the Bible is Messiah, the one that saves Israel? I'm the one, said God. His name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's His name. Huh? Understand? That's the Father's name. He came. There's two people, but there may be only one name. And the Jews understood that. When he made himself the Son of God, then he's equal with God. His name on the check is as good as God's himself. And if he wanted to, if he were not that obedient son, in whom the Father's will was persistent because he was a chip off the old block. That's all he was. The very essentiality and life of Almighty God, a part of him was right there. He could never go against the Father's will. He said, I can call right now presently 12 legion of men, 120,000 angels, blocked the whole bunch out. Talk about an atomic bomb. He just ripped the earth to pieces, sent his company back and forth again. I'm not going to do it. It's not my Father's will. It's not his will. It's not mine. No, they don't understand. I'm not here to exclude them, fight with them. I just like to have some answers. Let them come to stand with me. I'm going to have to go to them. They did the attacking. I didn't. But you remember what I told you years ago? You throw me a spitball. I'll pick it up, spin it, and throw it right back. I'm sorry. That's not nice. I'll pay for it. I paid for it all my life. I'll pay for it the judgment day, too. And I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the fact. I know my nature. I know what I stand for. All right, listen. Brother Branham, we read this, how that he says here, everything he's, let there be, let there be, let there be. In other words, it was all there to actually put into manifestation. Even as the seeds were there already, and when the water dried off, the seeds came up like it did the second time under Noah. Now let us understand this then perfectly clear. The seed in us will come forth from the earth one day, exactly as it says in Genesis 1 and 11. Let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit of its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and tree yielding fruit of seeds in itself. Seed, seed, seed. All right, let's go back to then to the book of 1 Corinthians. I hope I'm not losing some of you. If I make you a bit angry, that won't bother me too much. I'm an angry type of preacher, so I should get some emotions roused up here. But I hope not. All right, let's read 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go to verse 35. And it says, but some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Oh, fool, he says. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, you don't sow the body that shall be, but a single solitary tiny grain all by itself. It could be wheat, it could be oats, it could be rye. I don't know, it's some grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. Not as it's going to please him, but as it hath pleased him. You got a continuity here. And to every seed his own body. That's why we've got to be born again. The life of God's got to come upon that seed in us in order to bring forth the body that shall be. Now, if we'd have had that there to begin with, that'd be a different story. We didn't have it. All flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of fish, one of beast, one of this, one of that, one of the other thing. And now what it says. It says here, so also the resurrection, verse 42, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. What is it? The body. The seed in there has a corrupt body. The next time round it has an incorrupt body. Why? Because it's an incorrupt seed. And it got waylaid. Brother Branham said you didn't get the right body. You were put in here in order to be tested. And it's in the flesh you get tested. And he said to Adam, listen, you are going to fall away from me because of her. It's the flesh. So she got all messed up with the sex instrument that the devil put there, the handsome, big, beautiful beast the women all fall for. And, of course, she played the harlot on her husband. And he wouldn't let her go. He married a harlot. God doesn't have children by harlots. In Adam, you got a reverse type. The only type you got here in Adam is federal headship. All born in Adam die. All come from Adam die. Remember, everything born on earth was not from Adam. Serpent. He was the mother of everything. That's been proven right by science and history right today. They say there might have been many Eves out there, but this is the Eve we came from. Hogwash. You talk about a bunch of spiritual bimbos. I'm talking about the pseudoscientists, the educators, all these birds that haven't got an ounce of brains, even these idiots that pretend they're Christians and they won't stand up for truth. You think they stand for serpent seed today? Heidi-ho, they'd no more stand for that than nothing. It says here, it's sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there's a spiritual body. So it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam, a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first his spiritual. In other words, Adam brought on a race of people through sex, through natural generation. Jesus Christ brought them all back by spiritual regeneration. See, that's why the seed is complete. We've got to come forth in that body like his. Why? Because it's without sex. The rebirth is without sex. The coming back is without sex. Brother Branham said, God, marriage and divorce, God will populate this earth again. He'll create again, not by sex, but by bringing them forth. He'll take the calcium and the cosmic rays and everything else and put it together where that circle of light came from. I don't understand it all, but I know this much. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, they are also earthy. Such as the heavenly, they are also heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, an image is not the real thing. You're made a copy. Now, the soul is the real thing. And the body we had was not the real thing. So Jesus came down without a male or a female and took on a human body, which again was not the real thing, except it was in this case because it wasn't by sex. But it still wasn't the real thing. He's got to be glorified, but he had to taste death for us. That's how he died with it. Why? Because the stream of life is the same stream of life that he got that came from God. So we have to be in him. Where is it? It's in human beings. Natural generation. Oh, come on. How much time we got? Thank you. 3.5 hours, you said? That's nice for you. I like Stevie's my... He used to sit on my knee. He's as sweet as a grown man with children as he was when he was a little feller. Just as nice and wonderful. All right. He said, we're going to bear the heavenly. Now, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot hear anything. God, you know, flesh and blood. Didn't say flesh and bone now. Flesh and bone. Ham is he, flesh and bone. Neither corruption inherit incorruption. So that's what you're looking at here. And, all right. Notice what we're looking at now. Page 928. He said through the prophets, I referred to this last evening, like we take Isaiah, said, a virgin shall conceive. Who would think of a man that was thought of and highly among the people to say such a word as that? A virgin shall conceive all by herself. Now watch. A prophet is a reflector. He cannot speak his own words. It has to be God's words that he speaks. He's just like a reflector. Reflector. I'm emphasizing the O-R. He's God's mouthpiece. Now the word reflect does not mean to receive and keep. It only receives it to bounce it out, to pass on that same light in another direction to somebody else. And today we have the Omega reflection. There will not be another prophet or another message to the Gentiles. This is it. And the words of the prophet were not his own. He was only a mouthpiece, as the Bible said concerning Jeremiah. I have put my words in your mouth. As a psalmist or someone said, thy words were altogether in my tongue, or something along that line. In other words, the thinking, as Paul said, was not of me. I counted my thinking and my education nothing but dung. And I could print a little treatise on dung, which wouldn't insult you or make you vomit or anything, but let you know exactly what dung is. Before it got to that stage, it was very useful. And they lived on it. Because it was food. Today, the tables are full of vomit. You can't exist on vomit. You can't do it. If you're an animal or bird, you might do it. But it can't be done. All tables are full of filth. You can't do it. That's why your hamburgers to the place now, pretty soon you won't dare eat hamburgers because there's a virus in there. that evidently you got to heat the pan up to about 360 degrees or something to make sure it burned on both sides in the middle. Or you might get some dysentery, and maybe worse than that, you might even die if you're like my age. Well, I don't die from those things. When I get out of here, God's going to take me, so no use grumbling or petitioning. I may have a date set that might not coordinate with his. I just got to stick around here. So in this end time, we got the Omega reflection. And the Omega reflection is the same as the Alpha reflection, which is bring down your mind. Cut the veils of Moses off. Cut the veils of tradition off. Get rid of everything. Disabuse your minds once and for all. Come on out. And when you come out under the cleansing of the Word. And by the way, that cleansing of the Word inside will clean your body on the outside. If you believe that the message is for healing and also make you live right. So you're not some kind of a person, you know, that does wrong and this and that. See, and I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying that's what we're looking forward to. Now, this reflector that only reflects, he has nothing to do with it. He doesn't even keep it for his own. Not his. Reflects it. Sends it where it belongs. Anybody ever seen a heliograph work? Huh? Who's in the army? Yeah, you're not old enough. A heliograph is where they use mirrors to reflect the light. And what it is, long as the sun is shining, you ain't got too much trouble. But if you're over there in the tunnel area in England and place, and you got enough fog, it ain't going to work. But you just say you're way down here in the valley, you got a guy with a mirror. He gets a light, and there's a guy up here on the mountaintop. He catches that light, and when he does, he throws it over the mountain to the guy down below. And there's where you have your Morse code, your semaphore. Well, it's your Morse code. You couldn't use semaphore with that. And you reflect it. Well, I'm going to tell you, the reflection is simply, those mirrors are simply reflectors. And you treat them in the sense as though they're in, and because they are inanimate. Now, the same thing goes with the prophet. He's not inanimate. But he is inanimate as far as that word is concerned. And as far as you are concerned, you're dealing with God. Ha! Right? Thank you. He is God to the people. He is the living word manifest to people. He is what the Bible says. And if you want to be a friend of the prophet, it's to your advantage. I was his friend, he was mine. It's to my advantage even today. I don't have to worry about a lot of things people worry about. I just try to tell you the truth and you believe. All right, he's just a reflector. He is God's mouthpiece. And so therefore he said, this Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. That's in what? 7 and 14. A virgin shall conceive. He probably could not have understood it. The Bible says that those men didn't. Now remember, Brother Branham was different from many of them because his status is like unto Samuel's for vindication, but now he's the revealer of the word that comes to him as though he's a mirror in this hour. We know the day in which we stand. This man didn't understand what it meant to be a virgin shall bear a child. Actually, the original Hebrew is a young woman shall bear a child. And I think deep down inside, Brother Branham realized when he said, every man said, that's my daughter. It's pretty hard to conceive that every man would say, my daughter's going to have a baby without male intervention. You notice that the genealogy of Mary goes back to David, and Joseph also, he's not actually in it. Christ was born into Israel, the tribe of Judah, according to the flesh. In other words, the woman that bore him and those that nourished him. All right. But anyway, however it is. Say, all right, a virgin. A woman that's virgin, have a baby still being a virgin? No way could it be. We can't take that. Israel didn't believe in virgin birth anyway because they saw all these temple virgins getting pregnant by the monks and everybody else pretending they were divine gods come on down. You talk about a racket. Well, they say the oldest profession is prostitution. And I'll tell you what, it's never abated. They've used every twist and everything they could to get into it. And that's why you have everything today called prostitution. The whore and her prostitute daughters. It's not nice. I realize the Catholic Church is angry. They said, don't you dare call us the whore anymore. We'll call her Bimbo. Come on. Look, what? Their own theologians know better. They've taught it for centuries. They know better. Of course, they're trying to say it's Cincinnati and our Moscow. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, brother. Pope will never come to Cincinnati. I don't think, anyway. More like Boston. And that's nothing but a harbor. All right. He says here, but God spoke it through him because he promised that he would do nothing until he revealed it to his servants, the prophets. That's right. Then when he said that, it was 800 years before it ever came to pass. How many thousands back in Genesis? But it had to come to pass. Finally, those words, now watch, those words of God anchored in the womb of a virgin, and she conceived and brought forth Emmanuel. I like that. Those words anchored in the womb of a virgin. The sperm and the egg. And brought forth the mask for Emmanuel. And he came into the body. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And Brother Branham said, when that spirit becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown a king and lord of lords. And that will be every one of these names and titles. Now watch. And all the words of God have to be fulfilled. Therefore we know that Jesus has gone to prepare a place to receive a people unto himself. Who those people are, I hope we're a part of those people tonight. If it isn't, my friend, God has made a way, a condition that you can be included in that if you want to. Now, they won't want unless they're seen, especially with William Branham. You're on a free moral agency. You can act any way you wish to. Of course, if you're sheep, you will hear the voice. You will follow. Obvious. There's no way you can pervert the scripture. This is how you put it to the sinner. When he comes in, he learns the truth. In other words, Brother Branham is saying, if they back there believe John 14, 1 to 3, based on Isaiah 7:14, in other words, Jesus was born of a virgin, they believed it back there, and it was true, absolutely true, then they would certainly believe John 14, 1 to 3, where there is going to be granted the mansion in glory. Now, when you consider this in our day, the proof of the resurrection, that Jesus would have to risen from the dead to give them those mansions, and they haven't got them yet. And this is the end of the Gentile era. Brother Branham was looking forward to inviting everybody to come and join him in those mansions. And he said, if you wish, and of course they will not wish unless they're sheep. And I would ask you this question, who in his right mind would ever believe the things that Brother Branham said, unless they just seem to click in a way that you were happy with, to really believe that a great, good, and just, and so-called impartial God who sat there with his word would ever say, listen, you're my elect, come on in. You're not my elect, you go on up. See, they can't take it. People cannot take the word of God. Luther took it. He was putting them right back on track. And what did Wesley do? Swung them right out. Why? Because Luther's bunch went right off the track, believing, well, hey, we're predestinated. It's okay. We don't have any means of salvation. We're going to make it anyway. That's a lot of tripe, except you are repentant. And you are baptized in water. You are sanctified. You'll never be full of the Holy Ghost. It went to extreme. Now we have a complete hodgepodge of everything. A complete mess. Every table full of vomit. Tell me, 1,600 voices with, not 1,600 ideas, at least 32,000. Because they all got 20 different ideas. They say, well, could be. I come to the store and I say, is this right? Could be. Oh, the recipe calls for rice. Give me some rice. Amen. You can't open the book and read it. Can't explain it. It's all gone. Anyway, well, that's as far as we can go today, and that's pretty good. We'll see some more of these things that, as they come along here, that Brother Branham is bringing out from this word that these people are hearing the prophet for the last time. Little did I know that when my visit with him following the week when we'd be back together on that Sunday would be the last time that we'd ever speak to each other. And I'm glad I was there to see something in his face that let me know that he had come into a experience in a life with God, which was strictly supernatural. So we have great faith in the man that God sent, not as a man, but as a reflector and the mouthpiece of him with whom we have to do. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for the time we spent here together. And we pray, O God, that everything said has its point in truth, and not belaboring and not trying to hurt anybody. But we know, Lord, we're living in troublous times and perilous times, Lord, perilous times. Not, Lord, anymore where a man has to step on a buried bomb and get his head blown off. But it's merely a thin wire like a razor blade. One little thing to take a person off. To be magnified to where the glory of God in this hour escapes what his view and her view or whatever. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that not one person in this building or in the sound of my voice shall ever be precipitous in this hour or even take time to try to figure some way as though there were any other way than this way and the way you want it done in this hour. Father, as we strive to know the truth, and the truth sets us free, anoint us, Lord, with inner strength we've never known before. By determination of both Jesus and Paul, when they set their faces toward Jerusalem, and no one could turn them back, even though it meant the finality of life, the end thereof. Well, Lord, there's a promise to people standing here this morning, I believe, no matter a few years here, a few years there. They don't have to taste death, but they can leave here, Lord, just suddenly transformed. The same as Abraham and Sarah, except they died, but these won't die. There'll be those very, very, very few, the very, very, very elect. The rest having gone on to the same destination of Paul and Brother Branham, and to come forth back on this earth and meet those that are standing here. Certainly I have not seen your ear heard. We don't hardly have a clue, Lord, to what that really means and what it's going to be like. But we're willing to wait. We trust we are dedicated and waiting to what you want to do in us and for us. And if anything through us, that's good too. Unto your name be glory and honor. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen.